This is the final whistle on Ocean FM on the eve of the GAA's annual Congress. We've spent the day at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town, the host venue for this year's Congress. It marks the end of Jarlath Byrne's first year as GAA Uachtaráin. On the programme, Mary Coughlan, Sean Dunyan on what it means for Donegal GAA. We'll hear from the overseas units too here in Donegal Town, plus Bill Collins on the Abbey Hotel's long association with Gaelic Games in the county. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan in the Abbey Hotel. To get in touch, it's 083-3500-530 by WhatsApp or text. The email is sport@oceanfm.ie, and on X you'll find us at Ocean FM Sport. Coming up later as well, Sean Carroll on Sligo against Clare in Division 3 of the National Football League this Sunday, and Shane Ward of St Clair's Comprehensive School in Manor Hamilton on their big All-Ireland Colleges semi-final this Saturday evening in Cavan. Well, Jim McGuinness once described the Abbey Hotel here in Donegal Town as the spiritual home of the GAA in the county. Maybe he wasn't wrong. Many of the delegates already here, particularly from overseas. World GAA has been hosting a series of meetings in the Central Hotel next door today, which is the satellite venue for Congress. This is Donegal's first time to hold annual Congress since it came to the Great Northern Hotel in Bundoran back in 1988. The same venue previously hosted it in 1975. As for the 2025 edition, there are 40 motions on the floor here in Donegal Town on Saturday, ranging from a proposal to change the format of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship next year from the round-robin series in the All-Ireland stages to a new qualifier system which would guarantee every county 3 championship matches. There's also a motion in there to abandon penalty kicks if a provincial final finishes level at the end of extra time, so no more Sean Patton heroics like last summer if that was passed. And Clontarf GA Club in Dublin have a motion in there proposing that a player must have featured in at least 4 club league games if he wants to be eligible to compete in his inter-county championship within the same calendar year. You can view the full list of motions right now on the sports news section of oceanfm.ie or on GAA.ie. Well, let's begin the programme by giving you an insight into the work that's gone into bringing annual Congress to Donegal in 2025. Well, we're here in the main ballroom of the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town, and a member of staff is carefully putting up the county jerseys, county by county. I don't know if it's provincial. Or is it club jerseys of Donegal? I see a Derry jersey, I see a Kerry jersey, I see a Kildare jersey. So all 32 plus the overseas units might be up there on what looks like a clothesline across the windows of the main ballroom here at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. And the county flags aren't on the tables just yet, but all the tables and chairs are laid out, all 390 of them for all the various delegates. And of course, the stage that's been constructed will have the top table where Jarlath Byrne and the trustees and the top table of Croke Park will be seated for Congress. And alongside me is the man whose black folder has all the plans since, well, probably several months ago for GAA Annual Congress in Donegal this weekend, and that is the chairperson of the Congress Organising Committee, who of course is a Donegal man, a Donegal town man, a Four Masters man, outgoing Donegal GAA Central Council delegate, Sean Dunyan. Sean, is it nice to be seeing the finishing straight at last?
It is, Austin, yeah. It's been a lot of hard work since we were awarded Congress at the end of November, so there's been a huge amount of planning that has gone into the event. It has actually crept up on us very quickly, but yeah, no, delighted now to see the ballroom here being set out, and it's very exciting for the next number of days, so I'm looking forward to it.
When did you find out that Donegal was hosting this year's Congress?
It was on the, there's a management meeting of in Crow Park on the 29th or 30th of November, so that was the date that was rubber stamped. Yeah.
And were you whispering in people's ears, some of the key decision makers, Donegal, 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 or how does that sort of thing unfold?
Well, there was an application process, so we had applied for it. So the Crow Park staff had to come down here first to see was it a viable venue. Of course, we had to be sure that we could fit the, as you said, there's about 380 people going to be seated in here tomorrow evening and Saturday. So that was the biggest challenge, that we wanted to be sure that we had the capacity to hold all the delegates. We were very confident that we had the bed capacity in the town with all the hotels and the surrounding areas, so we didn't see that as a challenge. This was the main challenge, to see this room set up.
And of course the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town is such a natural fit for Congress, given its close relationship with Donegal GAA down through the decades.
Yeah, exactly, and I suppose that would have been one of my drivers when I proposed at a county executive meeting that we should consider applying for Congress, that my own home club, the Abbey Hotel, is synonymous with Donegal GAA and since the 70s, 80s. So I just felt it was a good fit, and it was something just to try and give something back to Donegal Town, back to the sponsor, Liam Clancy, the family and all the staff here in the Abbey and Central that have been so good to Donegal GAA and supported us in so many ways over the decades, as you said. So it's a bit of recognition for them too.
I'm not sure if you were at the last Congress to be staged in Donegal. That was 37 years ago in the Great Northern Hotel in Bundoor, and you probably had other priorities back then.
I definitely wasn't at that Congress in 1988. So I wasn't even having any ambitions to have an administrative role. I was still playing at that stage. I was reading back on. I didn't realise until last night there were actually a Congress in Bundoran in 1975 as well. So. Bundoran had two congresses, but I'm sure it's a much different event now with regards to the media and social media. But I was very interested last night reading the report in the on Donegal Live as to the business that was talked about in 1988.
So what are the main building blocks for getting the 2025 edition of Congress ready this weekend, Sean? What's taken up most of your time and your committee's time?
Just the logistics, because there's World GAA are here already today. They're in the Central Hotel. That's all the units from overseas, from all over the world. Met a guy here last night from Irvine, South California. It's actually his mother from Donegal Town here. She's Megan Hill from Donegal Town. So there are people coming from all over the world. They're all in the Central Hotel today for a series of meetings and twinning meetings. All the overseas units are twinned with provincial councils here. So there's a lot happening today. Then tomorrow we have the delegates start registering at 2 o'clock. There's a central council meeting at 2 o'clock. There's side meetings happening all during the morning. There's four workshops across the two hotels from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We have to get 380 people fed then between 6 o'clock and 7:30, and be everybody seated here then at 7:30.
Not too bad, though.
No, it has been a huge logistical exercise, but I have to say, look, the staff here in the Abbey Hotel and the Central have absolutely been phenomenal, and they have done everything. And we had plans, and I joked with somebody yesterday that it must have been about the 24th version of the draft plan we had, because there's been so many changes and so many additions. But look, it has been very enjoyable, and look, it still is coming to fruition here now today.
How do you arrange who sits where? Does it matter which county's at the front and which county's at the back?
Well, Crow Park really set out the seating plan, but the front two tables up here on the right-hand side, that's our All-Ireland champions, always get precedence at the front of the room.
So that's Armagh and Clare this time around.
And then up front here we have the past presidents as well. We have representatives of the management committee sit at the front, and then reps of LGFA, Camogie, and the GPA. So they occupy the first few rows, and then Croke Park, just based on delegations and the number of delegates per county, there's set out. Then we have tables of 12 here and tables of 8. So we have to mix and match a bit to get everybody seated.
Okay. And as Central Council delegate, you can sit in this room on Friday and Saturday. This will be your final function as Donegal GAA's Central Council delegate.
It is, yeah. As soon as Congress finishes up on Saturday afternoon, that's my business. I can't believe the 5 years has flown by. It's been a very enjoyable experience. Working in Croke Park and being at Central Council meetings, and you know, that is, it's been a privilege. I will miss it, but I'm handing it over to Fergus McGee, a former county chairman, and a very capable, and I'm delighted for Fergus that he'll be representing us in Croke Park for the next 5 years.
Finally, how do you hope delegates will look back on this Congress, assuming there's nothing too time-consuming or contentious on the floor, but in terms of an experience, because there is a tourism dimension to all of this. Mm-hmm. It's Donegal putting itself on show for the country.
Yeah, and I suppose that was one of the drivers as well, and we've worked very closely with the tourism unit in Donegal County Council, Falch Ireland, and the community chamber here, because we do want to make it an experience. We want people to come back. Now, the weather this morning, we talked about when we were coming in the door, that's a worry.
Liquid sunshine, Sean.
It is, yeah. It's the worst morning that's come this week. But hopefully, you know, we want to give people the best experience. We want to showcase the county. We have delegate gift bags sponsored by very good sponsors in the county here that's given local brands, you know, and I do want to give a call out to the like of McDade's Football Special, Triona Design across the way, Mallow Mia and Newton Cunningham and Marshmallow Company over Newton Cunningham, Sulky Whiskies, MCM Spirits, McGee of Donegal, absolutely fantastic sponsors, and everybody's going to be going away with something Donegal, so hopefully that'll remind them. And we do, the best experience, the example I can give you, Austin, Congress last year was in up in Newry, and we stayed out in Warren Point, and that's a part of the country I've never visited myself. And that's on my bucket list now to go back there, because and that's what I want for people that's coming here this weekend, that they've come to Donegal, they get a great experience, and they might say, we'll go back there in the next few months or later this year or next year, whenever. So that would be a good outcome as well.
Well, Sean Dunyan, you've timed this Congress very well. Donegal at the summit of Division 1 of the National Football League. Your home club for Masters Donegal Town are Ulster Minor Club champions again. And of course, we've just had that breakthrough colleges season where Four Masters and Southwest Donegal reach the business end of the Premier Colleges competition. So on so many levels, it's a very exciting time for Donegal GAA.
It is very, very positive. Like, and I suppose last Sunday was probably one of the most positive days that we've had. And many
beating the All-Ireland champions, Armagh.
Yeah, beating the All-Ireland champions is one thing, but you know, seeing Michael returning onto the pitch and the contribution that he made, and it has just given the, you know, over 13,000 people at a league game is unheard of, and such a buzz. Everybody looking forward to the remainder of the league and looking forward to the championship.
I knew we wouldn't get through a programme about Congress in Donegal without mentioning Michael Murphy at least once. Sean Dunyan, chairperson of the Congress Organising Committee. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks a million, Austin.
Well, the Abbey Hotel in the heart of Donegal Town has for so many years been closely associated with Donegal GAA. It perhaps is the fitting choice to host Congress this weekend. Bill Collins is marketing manager here at the Abbey Hotel and next door in the Central Hotel as well. You're not going to get too much sleep over the next 48 hours, are you, Bill?
No, it's going to be very busy. Meetings all day, every day, up till Saturday morning.
It's the way you like it. What does it mean for the Abbey to be hosting GAA Congress?
It's brilliant for us because you have the biggest decision-making body for Gaelic games, and it brings delegates from all the 32 counties and international units as well, and all the top officials from GAA. And it's a prestigious thing for Donegal to get, showcasing the county and the local community.
Yeah. And I mean, the Abbey is such a nerve centre for Donegal life. It's where people meet, congregate, as well as come and visit and stay.
Yeah, it's just great to get it because the facilities in the town, the restaurants, the bars, it's very good for the economy. Local economy.
We'll talk more about that in a moment, but just in a Gaelic game sense, I mean, it is so, the name is so synonymous with Donegal GAA, isn't it?
Oh yeah, we're great, proud to be associated with Donegal GAA. We feel nostalgic about the history with Donegal GAA, the supporters alike. We look forward to continuing the success of the teams, and we wish them all the best in the coming season.
And you're hosting Congress at a lovely time in Gaelic football when Donegal are top of Division 1, the local GA Club 4 Masters going so well on so many fronts. It's a very exciting time to be around Gaelic games here.
Yeah, the local Club 4 Masters, they're dominating underage at the minute, which is great to see. Yeah. And then on the county level, my God, what a change. It's unbelievable.
So in terms of the local economy then, are beds full this weekend? What's the spin-off for yourselves and for other businesses around the Diamond, around the town?
Well, both hotels, all the beds are full. And then we, you know, they go out, local businesses, local shops, restaurants and tourism. Yeah. They're going to be doing a few tours in the Donegal Castle, Triona, McGee's. And then you have Hannah Hats as well down there as well. Yeah. So it's brilliant.
Because while the delegates are here to talk football, this is a PR tourism opportunity for Donegal, isn't it? Because you're going to have people from all parts of the country and from overseas. We've got a host of people here from World GA units right around the globe who are getting a taste of Donegal this weekend.
Yeah. There's loads of delegates from Indonesia, London, New York. It's brilliant.
You're not required to speak multiple languages, are you?
Das is good, yeah. that's the end of it.
You're picking up a bit of lingo, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, one thing I always hear, the Abbey Hotel staff always so accommodating and friendly. Nothing seems to be too much trouble. And I'm sure you're being pulled in all sorts of directions this weekend.
I was pulled in all directions. We have a great team in both hotels. Like, everything's a breeze from the minute they're flying through. It's actually started at the minute. Yeah. The World GA is actually on right now in the Central Hotel. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, so we're talking here in the main ballroom of the Abbey Hotel, where Congress itself, the 40 motions are going to be debated on Saturday, where Jarlath Burns will give his address at the end of the first year of his presidency. But just talk us through, the Central Hotel next door is kind of the satellite venue for Congress this weekend as well.
Yeah, satellite. All the breakout meetings, there's a lot of breakout meetings in the Central. The twinning meetings are all there. And then the heads of GAA meetings will be all there as well. And then main Congress is here in the Abbey.
What's the most unusual request you get at an event like this, would you say?
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I won't answer that just yet.
It's a bit early.
Yeah, I'll leave that to Abbey.
Yeah, yeah. Will you get to see any of the Congress, or are you in work mode all weekend?
We'll be in work mode all weekend, making sure everything's ticking over nicely for all the speeches and all that.
And a word on the owner, finally, the shy retiring Liam Clancy. I can see in the distance there, he's surveying the scene here, making sure all is readiness. Another man with a long association with Donegal Gaelic Games.
Yeah, big long association. He's keeping an eye on everything. He's even looking at me doing this. This is how meticulous he is. There's no pressure at all here on me right now. That's it. Yeah, he's having a good time.
Well, this is already turning into a special year for Donegal in terms of hosting Congress. And who knows where 2025 might bring Gaelic Games this year.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, look, Sean Dunyan has been fantastic in getting this conference to here as well, in the Abbey and the Central, along with Mary Coughlin. So it's been absolutely brilliant for the town, the local area.
Well, we've Congress in town, we've Michael Murphy back on the football pitch, and now we've Bill Collins on the radio. It's going pretty nicely.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Same level as Michael Murphy. Thank you very much. I'll take that.
Well, I've popped next door here to the Central Hotel in Donegal Town, because this is also a satellite venue for Congress this weekend. And all day today, delegates from World GEA have been hard at it in meetings and plenary sessions here ahead of the main activity on Friday evening and on Saturday. And two of the chairpersons of overseas units, we have Garrod Cronin, who is the chair of the Mideast GEA, and native of Mayo, and alongside him Paul Keane, born and raised in Westmeath but chair of US GAA. You're the heavy duty delegates, are you? Not like these lightweights who float in on Friday evening, Paul.
Well, yeah, we're here for a couple of days. You know, we have World GA meetings today, as you said, a chance to catch up with, you know, units around the world to see what they're doing, learn from them, but also work with the teams in Croke Park on what they're helping us with over more beyond.
Garroge, the Mideast unit sounds like a big one. Give us a beginner's guide geographically. Where does your county border begin and end?
Middle East GA is in the Gulf region of the Middle East mainly, so we will cover six different countries. We're in the United Arab Emirates, we're in Qatar, we're in Bahrain, we're in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait and Oman. So we have clubs spread around all those Gulf regions, and they will come together pretty much monthly to compete against each other and have a good time in terms of playing Gaelic games.
So is there a single county championship and final, or do each of those countries have their own individual championships?
No, we would run as a regional competition. So what we have is a Middle East League, which is sponsored by the Arab Irish Chamber of Commerce, and that is running from September until April. And then we would have a Middle East Championship where we get everybody in together. So it's very much regional. We're pretty much a roadshow every other weekend. We're in a different city or a different country. So it's fantastic to see the regional growth like that.
And Paul, for the United States, it's a vast country. You oversee everything apart from New York, so you're a bit like Donald Trump, jumping from state to state.
I wouldn't quite put it like that, but yeah, we cover an area over 100 times the size of Ireland, but you know, if you included Alaska and Hawaii, which we don't yet have teams in, you're looking at six time zones. So even organising meetings and things like that, even online, it's a challenge finding the right time, you know. But we all have our challenges, like, you know, Garrod mentioned there, they cover six countries, so travelling for them is international travel. For us, at least, it's within the one country, although we did recently add Cayman Island and Mexico to our repertoire. So, but, you know, we all have different challenges in different ways.
They sound vast jurisdictions for both of you. How do you manage it at all, Garrod?
You know, at the end of the day, it's just a really good community, and that's what Gaelic Games and Gaelic Games, the three different associations, that's what it's all about. So everybody just comes together, everybody does what we enjoy in terms of training, competitions, and it's actually quite easy when you get into it. There's a lot of work behind it, but there's some really great people on the ground administrating.
You are outpost for the GAA, which prides itself on its overseas unit, but how important is it to be part of the home family on a weekend like this Congress?
Absolutely. I think Garrod hit the nail on the head there with the world community. Like the GAA, whether it's in Westmeath or in California or in Dubai or in Donegal, it's a community-based organisation, and coming back here and meeting people that care about the GAA and want to see things progress, you know, it's great, and it's reassuring to know that, you know, we're all moving in the right direction on that.
We've had a president in recent years from the US side of the house in Larry McCarthy. I'm wondering, from your own perspectives, what are the biggest challenges for you guys operationally in terms of the wider GAA family, Garrod? If you had to pick out one thing, what would it be?
I think in terms of operations, our biggest challenge is that we don't own our grounds. So a lot of the time, pitch rental is the biggest thing. You can imagine some green grass in a desert area in the Middle East doesn't come cheap. So things like that are really, really tough. And people on the ground, in fairness, are putting in huge efforts, fundraising and paying for pitches and things like that. But that operationally is probably our biggest challenge at the minute.
And for you, Paul?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a challenge. The other is the cost of equipment, you know, like political-wise in the US is tricky at the moment, but, you know, there's a threat of tariffs on Europe. So, we get our hurls and footballs and gear from Ireland, you know, so cost-wise, geography-wise, distance travelled, all of the above. Definitely pitch rental is an issue as well. You know, clubs in Ireland own their own facilities. It's easy to rock up and at training, but you have to deal with renting a pitch and providing insurance proof and all of that sort of stuff. That's a logistical overhead, but, you know, back to what Garrod said there, people do it because they love it.
And one final thought, gents. You know, I know much of what you do is driven by the Irish expat group in your respective regions and countries, but we are seeing more and more indigenous Gaelic footballers from various countries around the world. To what extent are you noticing that, Garrod?
I think at the minute, to be fair, it's a little bit slower in the Middle East. I think we're dealing with a big community, but it's a community that's probably culturally similar to us. So we see a lot of Americans, Canadians, South Africans joining to play Gaelic games for the first time. I think as we start to develop and grow, and we're seeing it more in the juvenile sections where parents are bringing in their kids, they're bringing in their friends from school, and we're starting to see more Arab population coming to join and play Gaelic games.
Paul, I remember interviewing New York-born footballers who knocked Leitrim out of the championship a couple of seasons ago, so you guys are well down that track to some degree.
Yeah, we've like 20 years of twinning with Munster. It's been huge at us at youth level and development and programs and that. For us, on our side of the fence in the States, we had a team in the All-Ireland Junior Championship last year for the first time that we had an inter-county team taking part in the championship. It was huge, and all of them were American-born. They all came through our youth programs. So, you know, again, I hate reiterating everything Garrod said, but, you know, the investment in those youth programs that they're making now will pay off in the future, definitely.
Well, enjoy the hospitality of Donegal this weekend. Garrod Cronin of Middies GA and Paul Keane, chairperson of USGA. Thanks for talking to
us. Thank you very much.
Let's have a word with the Cathaoirleach of Donegal GAA, Mary Coughlan, here at the Abbey Hotel. This is a very big weekend for you and the county.
It's absolutely huge, and we're delighted as a county to be hosting Congress. I think it's almost 40 years since Congress has been to Donegal. And it's a great honour for the county. And, you know, we've done a huge amount of work here to ensure that we were in a position to host here. And our thanks to so many people that have made this work, and hopefully will be an exciting Congress for people.
Did you time all this, that Donegal will be at the summit of Division 1 and then you'd have the big administrative weekend in the county at the same time?
There's a thing on Lady Luck. I think we did apply for this last year, and Sean Dunyan has been to the forefront as our Central Council delegate to persuade Council to come here, and a lot of work done by the Abbey and the Central and all of our sponsors, supported very much by the Tourism Board, Fáilte Ireland, and also by Donegal County Council Tourism, and so many of our sponsors here in Donegal Town has been massive. And it's a great occasion to showcase Donegal GAA from an administrative point of view. You're quite right in saying that. We have 41 clubs in this county. It's a huge county, and we've had a difficult time, and we've been working towards improving the county, and this will hopefully be the culmination of a lot of that hard work.
And it's an opportunity to show off Donegal too as well, isn't it? I mean, the Abbey is synonymous with tourism, mm-hmm. as well as football, and the county can row in around that.
Absolutely, and one of the manager here, John, did say to me that since COVID, a lot of conferences are not coming outside of the capital. And I don't know why, because the capital can be quite expensive place to host a conference. So I think this is a position to showcase that Donegal Town can provide the accommodation, the food, and the meeting rooms that are necessary to host a national conference. And for this matter, this is an international conference, because we'll have people from the United States, from the UK, from Europe, and from Australia. So I think this is also an opportunity to showcase our county in a very, very good way. And also, as you said rightly, that we will attract people to come here for their holidays and from a corporate perspective as well.
As hosts, I know there'll be a lot of front of house for you and the Donegal Organising Committee this weekend. Will you actually get a chance to do some horse trading with the Croke Park authorities in terms of things you want to bring up? I mean, or are you constricted because there's so much going on? Will you get a few minutes with the Jarlett Burnses, etc., the top table to talk about the things you want to talk about?
Well, we've already started. So Jarlett was here with us as a guest on Sunday, so we had an opportunity to speak to him. We have a couple of meetings organised this afternoon with some of the key people in Croke Park. And, you know, it's very important to say as well that we do have a lot of interaction with people in Croke Park and Ulster as well. And but it'll certainly be an opportunity to get the ear of a few people so that we can just put forward a couple of new ideas and initiatives that we want to do here in Donegal.
Yeah, but there is a nice wave at the moment. I mean, there is a nice vibe around the county at the moment.
It's absolutely huge. And, you know, we're all delighted. We had a massive day in Ballybofey on Sunday. And, you know, that has really lifted people. And I've noticed now that people read the paper from the back to the front as opposed to the front to the back. And you know, it has really lifted people, and that's not just for our supporters, that's also for the children that we hope we'll encourage to play the sport, to participate in our football and in our hurling. And you know, it really, hopefully on this crest of a wave, we will be able to use it to sustain what we need to do here in Donegal. It's the sustainability of the county which is hugely important. If we're just going in highs and lows, that's not going to help. So that's why we will be taking out our strategic plan very soon and looking how we can sustain the talent and support the clubs here in the county.
We're standing here in the ballroom, Mary, where the 40 motions will be debated on Saturday. Some of them range from removing penalty kicks at the end of a drawn provincial final first game out to tweaking the All-Ireland Football Championship from the round robin to the qualifiers. Is it too early to try and coax out of you how Donegal are likely to vote on some of these big ones?
Well, I suppose one is consequential on the other, and I remember meeting Paul, the chairman of Armagh, at the Ulster final, and we both agreed, regardless of the outcome, that penalties wasn't a great way to end such a fantastic occasion. And we have discussed this at county level, and we do agree that that should happen. It will all depend, as you rightly said, on the space that's available then to allow a replay. And we have taken that as well into our underage games now. So at county level, we have a new regulation that at county level for underage children at county final that we will not have penalties. We had penalties last year and it's totally inappropriate. So we've agreed to change accordingly. So we would like to see that. I think it's a very unfair way. It was grand. It suited Donegal at the time.
We didn't. When Sean Patton makes a save, of course.
Of course. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't reflect the game and the talent and the work. And I think we would all agree that if there's space, I think one of the problems is that there's so little time to think. Like we have another game now, a big game down in Galway, and every other county has the same. It's very constant. There's hardly time to even appreciate or think about what we have done and what we have achieved. So the condensing of the games can be difficult. But at the same time, you know, the discussions that will take place here will reflect what other counties want to put forward as well. There's some technical changes on hurling and things like that. So we'll be led perhaps more by the people who are more involved in hurling than we are. But look, this is a time to discuss, and it'll not all be discussed in this ballroom. There'll be small rooms where we will have conversations and we will have workshops.
Can I finish with one final question, if you'll permit me? And it's purely my own curiosity, but I'm thinking, as the administrative head of Donegal GAA and your playing head, the football manager at the moment, Jim McGuinness, you know, there's no question the profile has changed exponentially on and off the field. I'm always wondering, how do the two of you get on, Jim McGuinness and Mary Coughlin? You've obviously have to have a good working relationship. How does that work?
Well, I have a personal working relationship with Jim. He doesn't annoy me and I don't annoy him. And that's the way it goes. I don't interfere in what he does and he doesn't interfere with what I do. And I think it's also very, very important to re-emphasise the fact that this is teamwork. I have a superb executive. Everybody puts their shoulder to the wheel. They're all volunteers, and even though they may have particular positions within the county, everybody works together. And we mustn't forget our hurlers as well. There's a huge amount of work being done at hurling. We're up a different level now. It's going to be a little bit more difficult for us.
Historic game this Sunday against Kerry.
Yes, that's going to be a big game. We'd like to have the same result as we had for the footballers. But look, this is where the lads want to be. They want to up their game. They want to be at a higher level competitively, and we have to make sure that we also provide the talent pool for the hurlers. And we have a new initiative starting now in the West where we're trying to encourage some of the clubs to come together and provide a hurling team. So, you know, there's a huge amount of work going on, doesn't always get seen or heard, but we're hoping we're going to have a good year. But I think it's also very important to curb the expectations that people have out there, despite the fact that we had a great run so far. It's not the sunny days of June or May. And as you know yourself, once championship starts, it's a totally different ballgame.
Mary Coughlin, Cathaoirleach of Donegal GAA. And we'll have live updates from Congress during Saturday's Sports Beat with Michael Daly on Saturday afternoon. Elsewhere this weekend, we'll be bringing you commentary on Sunday of Donegal's Allianz Football League Division 1 game against Galway at Pearse Stadium in Salt Hill. That's a top-of-the-table clash. It's live from 3:45 on Ocean FM, courtesy of Donegal Plumbing and Heating. We have two Division 3 commentaries this weekend. On Saturday, we'll be at Corrigan Park in West Belfast, connectivity permitting, to bring you Leitrim against Antrim from 2:30. And then on Sunday, we're back at Markovic Park and starting at the earlier time of 1:30 for Sligo against Clare. Well, let's look ahead to that game now with the Cathaoirleach of Sligo GAA, Sean Carroll.
It's a really big game. I suppose the first three games haven't gone as we would have hoped. You know, despite all the good preparation and the good work that's gone in, we find ourselves in a position now where we haven't actually won a game yet. So look, it's crucial that we get a big performance and a result on Sunday.
There's always a feeling that home advantage and a home crowd is worth a couple of points at least to the team at home. And with that in mind, you're looking for a healthy attendance this Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'd appeal to all Sligo supporters to make an extra special effort to get into the ground. Look, I know because I see it week in, week out, and I know the work that these players are putting in. It's the same as they've done in previous years. You know, when they've given us many great days out, and I'd really appeal to people. I think, you know, if we could get a good crowd in there to give the lads a bit of a boost, it might just be the difference in them getting the result. And look, there are our club mates, there are friends, there are neighbours. You know, they deserve the support, and I really hope the Sligo public come out to support them.
And you have a couple of incentives on Sunday, particularly for younger supporters. Perhaps you could talk us through them.
Yeah, absolutely, Austin. I think it's worth reminding people that under 16s are free. I know there has been some confusion because for Division 1 and Division 2 games, there is a charge. But for Division 3 and Division 4, under 16s are free. So we'd encourage all under 16s to come along. And there's no charge. And indeed, the first 100 or so that attend, we're going to make a gift of a headband or a flag to them while stocks last. It might be more than 100. So that's an incentive to get into the ground early. There's also going to be people there to do face painting. So it's really worth their while to get there early and really start building the atmosphere.
And a word, Sean, on the halftime draw during the game.
Yeah, so through the club coaching officers and PROs, there have been tickets or vouchers, you know, circulated for young people to enter the competition. So there will be a number of prizes, including a couple of jerseys and other merchandise that will be drawn at halftime as well. So look, another incentive to get there, to get involved in the fun, and you know, really cheer Sligo on.
What is the situation with the Markovich Park surface, Sean? It, like a lot of other grounds and a lot of sporting codes, has looked the worst for wear given the recent bad weather of recent weeks and times.
Yeah, I know there's no denying that the surface is not where we want it to be. Despite a lot of good work that has been put into it, we find ourselves we're struggling with the surface, and it's regrettable. But as you say, it's a nationwide problem. I think it's one of the unintended consequences of the split season. I think in the bigger grounds, certainly in GAA, that you end up playing a lot of your big games between October and sort of March, April, when grass court is obviously not really in existence. And that's posing a lot of problems. It definitely means that there's a greater degree of maintenance and investment required in pitches, and probably we're playing catch up there. So yeah, it's an ongoing issue that we are addressing, and we've had meetings this week, and they're ongoing in relation to the best approach to try and get this right. But yeah, it's a difficulty at the moment.
That's Sean Carroll, chairperson of Sligo GAA. And Sligo against Clare will be live this Sunday from 1:30 on Ocean FM, courtesy of Oates Breheny Group, your local property expert. Now, a big colleges weekend for St Clair's Comprehensive School in Manor Hamilton. Their senior boys Gaelic footballers are getting ready to take on Gaelcolosta Rockran from Donaghmede in Dublin in Saturday night's All-Ireland Senior C Colleges Football semi-final. That's been played on the 4G pitch at Kingspan Breffni in Cavan. Joint manager of the team is Shane Ward.
I think the paper describes it as an exciting new chapter, which sums it up well. We're looking forward to it, and we're glad to be in it, and it's a great exposure for the lads. I suppose any day you get to an All-Ireland semi-final at any level or any stage is a good experience and good exposure, so we're looking forward to it.
And it's a deserved placing in the semi-final after your recent Connacht final success in Enniscrone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we earned the right to be there this year. We had a very tough quarter-final, very tough semi-final, an equally tough final. So the boys certainly feel that they've earned the right to be there. And, you know, I think that the tough games in the lead-up to the final stood to them in the last 10 minutes of the final. And They held out and worked really, really hard. So yeah, they're full value for the money to be there.
We know already that the Leitrim combined post-primary schools team came very close to reaching a Connacht College's A final recently, and St Clair's progress augurs well for what you're trying to do in secondary school football in the county.
Yeah, absolutely. All our schools are competing in their own rights at a good level, and are there about last eight, last four every year. Our clubs then, our feeder clubs, St. Patrick's Drumahair and Glencommanor Hamilton, have contested at Connacht minor level this year, which bodes well for us as a school because it gives us that extra couple of percent that we're looking for to expose the boys to higher levels of football and give them more chances to play at that level. That has definitely stood to us, and definitely, I suppose, the Connacht College's A team has definitely stood. We've had seven members on that team, which is fantastic. And there's no doubt that exposure has helped them, give them another couple of percent this year as well. So I think, I suppose, the argument for it all is really just to get the boys exposed to them, play as much higher level football as they possibly can. I think there's great lessons and learning in it. They certainly would have seen out the last 10 minutes of the game the last day had they not got that exposure all year. I think they know that, and I think they're learning fast, which is great.
A word on your opponents this Saturday night. Gael Coloshta Raikron from Donaghmead in Dublin will be the team you'll be up against in Cavan. Are you able to glean much about them?
Not any more than just give me a bit of research. And, you know, they'll be a tricky opposition, obviously, because we haven't played them before. We don't know much about them. We have obviously a few things that we'll focus on, but I suppose very much it's about, can we bring the same performance we did in the first half of the final last day? Can we bring that fast free-flowing football, and can we get the scores on the board early and get settled into the game? That's really our main focus. But it's great to be playing a different opposition, and great to be playing an opposition with a different province. You know, again, it's great experience, great exposure for these lads.
And another feather finally in the cap for the school, St Clair's Comprehensive. The girls won an All-Ireland soccer title last year, and now it's the turn of the boys to be at the national business end in 2025.
Yeah, definitely. I think the girls previous to that in the Gaelic have won All-Ireland as well at this level as well in 2019-2020 there. So, definitely a rising tide as if it's all boats. It's definitely given the boys a real motivation to stride ahead, and it builds confidence, doesn't it? It builds confidence in young people in school that to see anybody in the school achieving at a really good level does drive the motivation around the school, and it definitely has given them a great confidence to compete at a good level. We can see it in the girls, and it's transferred into the boys now, and as long as the people compete at good levels in school, I think it bodes well for the community in the school, and I think it gives everybody a right to say, well, no matter what they're good at, they can progress at a good level and reach a good standard.
That's St Clair's Comprehensive School's joint manager, Shane Ward. He's in charge of the team along with Aidan McBaron, and that game on Saturday night against Gael Coloshta Raikron of Dublin throws in at 7:30 at Kingspan Breffni. A reminder, finally, we'll have live updates on annual Congress during Saturday's Sports Beat with Michael Daly this weekend. And a reminder too, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie or wherever you get your pods. Simply search online for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week. Same time, same place.